Part 2. You will hear a reporter talking to a colleague about a train journey in China, which was his favorite report of the year. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Now it's your turn, Christopher. I believe you've chosen as your favourite report the train journey in China. Why does that particular journey stand out?
I suppose it was being in a country so culturally different and yet not feeling like a complete outsider. That was what made the strongest impression on me. For example, I met a young music student right at the beginning of the journey. She spoke English and was quite willing to talk to me, which was something that wouldn't have happened not so long ago.
What about the facilities on the train?
It wasn't what you would call a luxury train, but it was more than adequate. There was a restaurant car available where I had a simple meal of spicy beef, rice and green peppers. The service was friendly, and the fact that the restaurant car was both smart and comfortable made the meal quite enjoyable.
What about the views you got from the train?
They were stunning and interesting. There was always something worth looking at. The immense empty vastness of the Gobi Desert, stretching out as far as the eye can see with its dark sand and not much else, was like a magnet. I found myself gazing into this phenomenal physical feature on more than one occasion.
Was most of the land you saw barren desert? If I remember, you said that there was some agricultural activity in the region.
Indeed there was. One surprise for me was the amount of land devoted to growing grapes. Although nothing can be grown in the Gobi, the edge of the desert is fertile land which can support a variety of crops.
And of course, all the food they can grow is vital for a country with such a large population. What about evidence of resources that feed the Chinese economy?
There was certainly evidence of the vast oil reserves of the Gobi, with nodding donkeys slowly but surely pumping oil to the surface. There was also dozens of large white wind generators working to supply the much-needed power for this growing economy.
When I made my one and only train journey in China, there always seemed to be someone around with something to sell.
This, I thought, was one of the pleasant features of the train. There were vendors moving up and down the corridors with their narrow stainless steel carts, selling a variety of wares. Apart from the things you would expect to see, like newspapers, bottled water and soft drinks, there were more unusual items on offer. One young woman was selling chopped-up pieces of watermelon in little plastic bowls with toothpicks to eat them. And when you get the chance to stretch your legs on one of the stops, there are traders waiting on the platforms with carts full of melons and other fruit to tempt you.
Another thing I remember about my journey was music being played in the carriages. I found this quite tiring.
I know what you mean, but I actually found the music they played to wake us up in the morning quite cheerful. It put me in a good mood.
Oh, yes. Your journey continued overnight. Did you have a comfortable night's rest?
I didn't get to sleep easily. Not because I wasn't tired, but because of the spectacular display of clear, bright stars I could see against the blackness of the desert sky. I'm not exaggerating when I say it was hypnotic. When I woke up, the Gobi was well behind us. Small villages had given way to larger villages, which had in turn given way to larger and larger towns. This was a sign that we were well and truly in an area of heavy industry. The contrast between this region and the one on the edge of the Gobi was startling.
And this was on Express 296, for those intrepid travellers who might one day wish to follow in Christopher's footsteps.
Now you'll hear part two again.
Now it's your turn, Christopher. I believe you've chosen as your favourite report the train journey in China. Why does that particular journey stand out?
I suppose it was being in a country so culturally different and yet not feeling like a complete outsider. That was what made the strongest impression on me. For example, I met a young music student right at the beginning of the journey. She spoke English and was quite willing to talk to me, which was something that wouldn't have happened not so long ago.
What about the facilities on the train?
It wasn't what you would call a luxury train, but it was more than adequate. There was a restaurant car available where I had a simple meal of spicy beef, rice and green peppers. The service was friendly, and the fact that the restaurant car was both smart and comfortable made the meal quite enjoyable.
What about the views you got from the train?
They were stunning and interesting. There was always something worth looking at. The immense empty vastness of the Gobi Desert, stretching out as far as the eye can see with its dark sand and not much else, was like a magnet. I found myself gazing into this phenomenal physical feature on more than one occasion.
Was most of the land you saw barren desert? If I remember, you said that there was some agricultural activity in the region.
Indeed there was. One surprise for me was the amount of land devoted to growing grapes. Although nothing can be grown in the Gobi, the edge of the desert is fertile land which can support a variety of crops.
And of course, all the food they can grow is vital for a country with such a large population. What about evidence of resources that feed the Chinese economy?
There was certainly evidence of the vast oil reserves of the Gobi, with nodding donkeys slowly but surely pumping oil to the surface. There was also dozens of large white wind generators working to supply the much-needed power for this growing economy.
When I made my one and only train journey in China, there always seemed to be someone around with something to sell.
This, I thought, was one of the pleasant features of the train. There were vendors moving up and down the corridors with their narrow stainless steel carts, selling a variety of wares. Apart from the things you would expect to see, like newspapers, bottled water and soft drinks, there were more unusual items on offer. One young woman was selling chopped up pieces of watermelon in little plastic bowls with toothpicks to eat them. And when you get the chance to stretch your legs on one of the stops, there are traders waiting on the platforms with carts full of melons and other fruit to tempt you.
Another thing I remember about my journey was music being played in the carriages. I found this quite tiring.
I know what you mean, but I actually found the music they played to wake us up in the morning quite cheerful. It put me in a good mood.
Oh, yes. Your journey continued overnight. Did you have a comfortable night's rest?
I didn't get to sleep easily. Not because I wasn't tired, but because of the spectacular display of clear, bright stars I could see against the blackness of the desert sky. I'm not exaggerating when I say it was hypnotic. When I woke up, the Gobi was well behind us. Small villages had given way to larger villages, which had in turn given way to larger and larger towns. This was a sign that we were well and truly in an area of heavy industry. The contrast between this region and the one on the edge of the Gobi was startling.
And this was on Express 296, for those intrepid travellers who might one day wish to follow in Christopher's footsteps.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.